They say everyone's algorithms is different on like what you see on the internet when you open up your news sites. And I will say 99.9% of the time, what Raven sees is very different from what I see. And he is all worked up today for something that I think is absolute nonsense.
You're going to be seeing this. I'm telling you, in the coming days, you're going to see this. So it's true. My algorithm is very different than yours, because a lot of times I'll bring something up that I've read and you're like, what? 50 billion, they estimate 50 billion snow crab have gone missing in the Barents Sea. Mm-hmm. It has never been a thing before, but they have canceled the snow crab season in the Bering Sea for this year for the first time ever. And they think it's due to climate change. And just 50 billion of these things disappeared. You're not going to be able to get snow crab. You're not going to be able to get Alaskan king crab. Seafood towers are going to look very different this coming year there, Anna.
It's because of the pirates. The pirates stole them. If you ever watch any of those shows, that you know there's a lot of pirates, and they've just been hard at work, and they've stolen all the snow crabs.
I feel like pirates are more like a warm weather type thing. You know,
No, these pirates, they are cold weather pirates.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. They wear their eye patch on both eyes. It's so cold.
Well, I mean, there has been some talk that they're overseeding the grounds there, that Russia is trying to encroach on the international area for fisheries over there. But I don't think that's it at all.
You think the Russians took the snow crabs?
I just think that it's kind of scary that 50 billion of anything disappears, right? And I do like snow crab. I mean, they're a pain to eat. You know, it's very difficult to get the meat out of them. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I do like them, and I do like a seafood tower.
I mean, I agree with all of that. It is actually terrifying if the Russians and the pirates did not take them.
Right.
Because that means that it's just climate change. And I mean, 50 billion of an animal disappearing, like you say, is a scary thing. And then what happens next?
Right. Everybody who depends on snow crabs.
Red
lobster.
Yes.
And I mean, what is Deadliest Catch going to do for a TV show next year?
What are they going to catch?
I have no idea. Inner tubes, tires that people threw out in a river somewhere that ended up in the ocean.
I want to be clear. I think the pirates took them.
Mm.
I just don't know how to stop the pirates, because whenever I watch The Deadliest Catch, they're always looking for them too, and they don't seem to have great success 90% of the time.
As ludicrous as it sounds, the Russian pirates is actually the better alternative.
I guess. Savannah, Georgia, New Orleans, Salem, Massachusetts, those are considered the three spookiest cities in the entire country. Savannah's haunted reputation is built on racism, with some of the most haunted areas being built on top of unmarked graves of those that were enslaved.
Makes sense.
Salem, the home of the witches that were hanged.
Sure.
And New Orleans is all about voodoo, self-proclaimed as the home of vampires and ghost spirits.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, vampires and all that, yeah.
I go to Salem every Halloween season. I'm going this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been so busy that I've kind of forgotten the fact that for the first time ever, I actually got a room at the most haunted hotel in Salem, the Hawthorne Hotel.
Oh, man, I hope you survive.
Well, why?
I really do.
Why?
You know,
why?
Sometimes I'm so dumb. Like, sometimes it's like, you know when you have an idea and all your friends, like, we take our daughters, me and my best friend Danielle, we take our daughters are 13 and they're best friends too. And last year I was like, next year we're finally going to get into the Hawthorne Hotel. And we're like, yeah, yeah. And then you have to book it a year in advance. So I did it. And now all of a sudden I'm like, what was I thinking? Like, it is notorious for being haunted. Like, what? I got to spend a night there? Like, I'm not going to sleep at all.
Yeah, but, you know, teenage daughters. Like, that's a cool move for your teenage daughters. Like, you know what I mean? That's something they get to brag about, talk about, all that stuff, right? Until they're throwing up or their head's spinning around.
Yeah, exactly. Until it's 4 o'clock in the morning and I look over and she's levitating and I don't know what to do. You know?
I've got a friend that wants to do the Lizzie Borden, the axe murderer, right? That house. He wants to stay over there. And his girlfriend's like, nope.
Smart girl.
Normally I like being scared a little bit, but I don't like scary movies. I like I like witchcraft. I like to like go meet with the witches in Salem and do all that stuff, and kind of it spooks me. It's spooky
go meet
enough.
With them.
Meet with them. I like to talk
conference.
With the witches,
right.
Be one on one with the witches.
Right.
You know, completely normal.
Pay your price of admission, and then the ghosts are like, yeah, go about your way, and you're fine.
But I was thinking about it. I'm like, for all the haunted places I've been, the most haunted place I ever been was I was a realtor. And I remember walking through a house that I was showing, and I just felt off. Like, you know, like when the air seems thick and it's got that smell? And afterwards, I asked the other realtor, I go, what is the deal with that house? And she was like, oh, there was like three people that were murdered like 15 years ago in the basement. I'm like, Oh, and remember, you can't disclose that unless it's like asked in writing when you're a realtor. I don't know if you knew that.
It's one of the strangest things ever, right? Mm-hmm. Like somebody has to ask officially.
Yeah, you can't just say this house is haunted. So
weird. In writing, no less.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Spookiest places you guys have ever been, where?
As a teenager, we used to go to this place that used to be a seminary, a nun's seminary, right? So, but it was then abandoned at this point. And I mean, it was completely old Gothic style architecture and all that stuff. And you could roam everywhere, the basement and all that. And then after it became a mental institution.
Oh, boy.
And like when you wandered down into the basement, you could find the areas where they were doing. There was a morgue.
Oh.
There was a room for like shock treatment. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Very creepy.
It's always when you're in high school, too. We used to go to an old abandoned insane asylum, too. You know what it is now? There's a brewery there.
It's a wedding venue. It's a place we used to go to now. Can you believe that?
Sean, where did you tell me you went?
It was an abandoned children's hospital.
Oh,
and
gosh.
It was the same thing where it was like you got, they had like the morgue and creamer area. I don't know what they call that.
But, yeah.
And that was in
crematory.
The crematory.
Yeah, creamery is where they make ice cream.
Right.
Stuff like that.
This place isn't so bad.
Yeah.
That's where happiness lives.
Yeah, no, that place is creepy, especially because you had to get in through the roof. So you had to like climb the wall, basically, to get up to the roof and get... God, the place is just terrifyingly creepy.
All right, well, wish me luck this weekend. If I don't come back, you know that Hawthorne Hotel got me.
Have fun with your conference.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's that thing that's driving you nuts right now? 1-800-330-9999. You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Raven, if you're the person at a show that just doesn't shut their mouth and stay in their lane, that's all I need to know about you.
I know that you've been waiting to get this off your chest.
Oh, my gosh. I went to a friend of mine's show on Saturday night. It was like a cabaret singing comedy show, right?
Okay. Yeah,
a
variety show.
It was a variety show. I was so excited to see her. And I was in the second row on the end seat. And there was a lady behind me, right? And she was that loudmouth. Every time there was a joke, she's got a comment. Run her mouth.
Yeah, talk something. Like she's part of the show.
Exactly. Like as if she was a co-star on the stage. She's not. And then all of a sudden, I feel this on my shoulder. So I slowly turn around. I'm already annoyed with this lady because she hasn't stopped talking once throughout this entire show.
Right.
And she goes, "Queen!" And I'm like, this lady just called me a queen?
Yeah.
And she goes, "Girl, you moving around so much, I can't even see the stage. Can you stop moving?" And I was like, now, I don't know how what the correct response is.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm like, no matter what I say right now, I'm going to sound terrible.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm like, oh, you know, I do the thing that you're supposed to do. Yeah, sorry about that. I don't even know what she's talking about.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, listen, you're a free person sitting in a chair. You can do whatever you want. And it's a seat that you paid for.
Yeah. That's all I need to know about you. And then, you know, like throughout the rest of the show, because she was so loud behind me.
Yeah.
It's like I kept coming up with things I could say to her.
Yeah.
Like I was going to be like, I wanted to turn around to her and say, "Queen, can you shut your mouth?" Yeah. But like I was like, you know what? It's never going to end well.
Yeah, no, it's not the way to handle things.
Exactly.
Yep.
So I said nothing, and I seethed in silence the entire time.
For days after, too, it looks like, apparently.
Days.
Right.
Days I held that in.
Well, sometimes that's just the way it works out. You were better for it, having not confronted her, you know? Get some stadium seating, by the way, club, too.
Okay, and not
let's do that.
But not for nothing. If you're at a show and there's a performance, keep your mouth shut. You're not part of the show. You did not go to rehearsal for months in practice.
I've been at a couple times at those comedy shows where you just get a little bit too loose of the lip. You've had a little bit too much of the happy sauce. You got to roll back at that point. Them do their thing.
1-800-330-9999. Judy, that's all I need to know about you.
If you owe me money, but I see you walking in with a Starbucks Venti every day, that's all I need to know about you.
Who owes you money?
My coworker. I lent her money thinking she was going to pay me back and be good for it. And she hasn't yet, but she doesn't miss a Starbucks trip every day in the morning.
That's real money right there, too.
It's messed up.
Yep.
That's cash going
that
out the window.
Up.
Yeah. Give me my money.
Exactly.
Yeah. I want my coffee. Where's my coffee?
Aren't you embarrassed?
Right.
How do you do that? How do you have, like, you owe people money and then you just go and live your life and spend money like that knowing that you owe someone else cash?
Oh, you just don't care?
Crazy.
You just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Al, that's all I need to know about you. What's up?
If you're already out there smashing pumpkins right now, that's all I need to know about you.
teenagers.
Who's doing that already? I mean, you're just getting your pumpkins. Give them a chance.
Mm-hmm.
There's two smashed outside on my street right now.
Yeah. I don't want to be stereotypical, but they probably have a scowl on their face. They're probably between the age of 14 and 18. Maybe feeling a little bit misunderstood.
Mm.
They're mad.
I hope it's an elderly woman that's smashing my pumpkins. I hope I look outside and I see a 93-year-old woman with her cane taking my pumpkin and smashing it on the ground. Because you know what?
Yeah.
I'll applaud her. I'll say, congratulations, you did it. You destroyed my pumpkin. Jealousy is such an ugly word. And, you know, I've never been the one to be jealous of other people. I've always kind of just, you know, be grateful what you have and all that. But lately, I don't know what my deal is, but I am so jealous of like two or three of my friends. Because they're the kind of girls that when they say they're going to do something, they actually like follow through. So one of my friends was like, I'm going to go to Thailand. I want to go to one of those animal sanctuaries with the elephants. And I was like, yeah, that sounds like amazing. And then I'm not kidding. The pictures on Instagram were like within a month, she was in Thailand with the elephants.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God, like she for real did it. Like she didn't just say it. Like how I always say I want to go on an African safari one day.
Yeah.
She went and she did it. Another one of my friends.
You've said it so many times, I actually thought you went on safari.
No.
Excuse me.
No, I've researched every safari in Africa
you had gone.
A million times.
Oh, okay.
How many times? Because, like, you need money for that.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, not just money. I mean, you got to have a certain amount of courage to do it, too. I mean, when you're doing these big trips to these places that, frankly, Americans don't go all the time every day, you know, there's a little bit of that involved. Okay, so she's got some boldness to her.
Yeah, so she went to Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of my girlfriends was like, you know what, I can work remote for a month. I'm going to rent a house in Aruba on the beach with my kids. She rented a house in Aruba on the beach for a full month with her three kids and her husband and worked remotely and did it. And did it.
I mean, but yeah, we got that. You said it.
But you know, I feel like... Don't you feel like lately you have all these dreams and say things you're going to do, but you don't actually do it? And I'm like jealous of them. I go, how do they just say these dreams and make them come true?
Oh, my gosh. Are you having a midlife crisis?
Maybe.
So, I mean, I get what you're saying. I mean, I've got a friend who's going to the Philippines for 3 weeks. We were just talking about this a couple weeks ago. And same thing. I mean, I envy his boldness. I'm not sure if jealousy is necessarily the word, but, you know, I get it. Sometimes you see people do things and you say, you know, I've thought about it. I've talked about it, but... why can't I do it?
Seems to be a key point with these two right here. Now, the friend in Aruba is taking her kids, and clearly that's just a situation of just, you don't have enough money. But the first friend, does this first friend with the elephants have kids?
No.
Okay, Raven, your person who is going to the Philippines or wherever, do they have kids?
Nope.
Feels like a kid thing.
So you think I'm just jealous of people without kids?
Well, I'm not saying you resent your children. I'm just saying.
You can be a little bit more reckless if it's only you that you have to be responsible
for.
And that's definitely true. And number two, I mean, as far as remote, you don't have that availability. So if you had the availability to work remote, well, you should have done it when you had your knee operated on.
But there's some, yeah, right. That when I have my knee operated, that's a perfect
time.
Put
your time. Studio in Aruba,
right.
In some motel. That would have been the way to do it.
But sometimes you just get jealous of other people. Like,
yeah.
You know, you're just, you don't even know why you have those feelings, but you do. Like on our Facebook page at Anna and Raven, Kathy wrote that she's jealous of people that have a pool.
Well, yeah. I get it.
I get that.
I have a pool right now, but before I did,
yeah, right. I was going to say you have a pool.
I mean, I'm always jealous of a bigger pool.
I'm jealous of your pool.
Well, that's all right. My buddy has 7 to 8 weeks vacation every year paid for. I'm jealous of that.
Yeah.
That's a lot of vacation.
It's a lot of vacation.
Producer John, what are you jealous of? Make me feel better.
All of my friends who like are being musicians and professional musicians. 20 years I was at that game, playing in bars, doing all of that. And don't get me wrong, I have a lot more friends who washed out and are just not doing well at all. But there's that select few. I got a buddy right now who's, you know, Guy Fieri's got that new talk show, game show thing. He's in the house band on that. I see him on TV all the time. Tommy Weeks.
And
shout out to you,
for.
My friend.
And he's jealous of him.
And dinner's paid for.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's delicious.
And John has to come to work every day with us.
He works in Flavortown. I work here.
I'd be jealous, too.
Jealousy is a weird feeling. You know it's not a good feeling, but every once in a while, you just feel it. I have a couple of friends who've been really doing the YOLO thing. During the pandemic, they said that they were going to travel. They wanted to take their family to Aruba for a month and work remotely. Mm-hmm. She did it, packed up her three kids and went. Another friend said she wanted to go with the elephants in Thailand, an animal sanctuary. She went, posted pictures on Instagram, and I was like, wait a minute, I'm jealous of them.
Yeah, it happened. Yeah. I got a buddy just bought himself a brand new $60,000 motorcycle. He's got a big old truck, too. He doesn't care about gas mileage or paying his bills or anything like that. He's got no other responsibilities. I'm a little bit jealous.
1-800-330-9999. Hey, Anna and Raven, who's this?
Karine, and I'm jealous of women with husbands who put the toilet seat down.
Oh, yeah. That man doesn't exist. What are you talking about?
My husband puts the toilet seat down all the time. You want to be real jealous? I have people come into my house today to look because we're probably going to sell our house soon. Do you know my husband cleaned my whole house yesterday, top to bottom?
What?
Uh-huh.
I'm definitely jealous of
you. Oh, you should be jealous because I was jealous of myself. I was like, look at this man doing his part.
Very impressive.
Janelle, who are you jealous of?
So I've had a couple kids now, and I'm jealous of the women who have kids, and their bodies just bounce back like they didn't have any kids at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, the ones you see, like, wearing the skin-tight jeans or the leggings. Like, come on. Where's your mom pooch? Mm-hmm.
Isn't the secret to that, like, having your kids, like, when you're 22? Isn't that what it is? Or do people have that at 30?
Yeah. Last night, I had my pajamas on, and I didn't have a bra on. And my husband made several jokes to our daughters about how I was almost touching my chest to my knees at this point. And
wow.
Yeah. And I don't know if he wanted to die yesterday. I wasn't right. sure if that's what was happening.
Right. You're not sure if that's why he was entertaining this wow
conversation. I had to remind him that those children didn't just come out of thin air. Certain things had to happen to this body
right.
for that to happen. Yep. Glad he stood yep. there in a corner of the room and ate his pizza and watched me deliver them.
What, yeah. What a conversation this yep. was. Huh? I'm so glad I was a part of it today.
He's so funny.
Wow.
So funny, Paul. Hilarious.
Austin, what are you jealous of?
Hey, so this is might be kind of ridiculous, but I'm super jealous of my neighbors because I just got a dog like 4 months ago, and he doesn't spend any time with his dog, and it's so well-behaved and so well-trained, and I have been having the hardest time in the past 4 months. He's still going in the house. He doesn't listen to me at all. Every time I go next door, his dog is super sweet, super well behaved, and like he doesn't like put in the work. And I've been working like every day. I spend hours with my dog every day in the morning and at night. So frustrating.
Speaking of my husband, Paul is jealous of all the people that walk their dogs up and down the street because, you know, Lila's a fearful dog.
She just won't go for a walk.
He tries and he does, but most of the time it just looks like him dragging a dog down the street. And, you know, that gets some certain glares, too.
Yeah, that's not a good feeling. Yeah. You know what? I share this envy. There are people in my neighborhood. Some of them, they're great dog owners, but there are others that are not so great. You know what? Their dogs, some of them, so well behaved. So well behaved. You could walk by the house. You could, you know, your dog is on a leash, anything like that. Not a peep. My dogs are crazy.
Yep.
My dogs are straight insane. Anna's will hide under the chair. Mine will be on top of the back of the chair, screaming out the window, foaming at the mouth. And he's 10 pounds. And he will just, he's insane. Anybody comes to the house, it's like he's never seen a person before. And they could have left 5 minutes ago.
I have a couple friends who said they were going to do massive things, and they did them. One said she was going to take 3 of her kids down to Aruba for a month, and she was going to work remotely. She did it. Another one wanted to go see the elephant sanctuaries in Thailand. She was posting pictures on Instagram. And then part of me was just jealous that they had the freedom. They said they were going to do these things, and they completed it.
I know a guy. He won $6 million, I think it was, on a scratch ticket, moved to Colorado. Bye. Kind of jealous.
Yeah. What are you jealous of? 1-800-330-9999. Carol.
I am jealous of people that can eat whatever they want. I have celiac disease, and every time I go to a restaurant, like last night with my friends, they bring my food back. They course contaminated it. And all my friends are sitting there eating, having a good time. And guess what? I ended up getting sick anyway because they cross-contaminated my food. Oh. So, yes, I'm jealous of people that can eat everything.
Yeah, it sucks.
What can I say?
That you have to always deal with those things. Like, so, I mean, I've got a couple ailments myself now that I have to, like, take regular care of. And it pisses me off. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It just makes me mad that I'm getting older and I have to deal with it. It's not something you asked for. It's something you're afflicted with. And yeah, it's a problem. And other people just get to go out and do whatever they want. I thought this was going to be about metabolism. I'm also mad about metabolism.
I'm definitely mad about metabolism.
If nobody said that, I'm going to say that now.
Amanda, who are you jealous of?
Okay, so I'm jealous of my best girlfriend. She doesn't have any kids, and she gets to, like, take naps in the middle of the day. She gets to watch TV. If she wants to, like, go hang out at whatever time or go on a trip, she gets to do that, and I don't. I have to admit, I'm pretty jealous. And I love my kids, don't get me wrong, but sometimes I wish I could have a little time to myself.
I'm sure your friend is somewhat jealous of you in some spots, too, but then she just comes over, visits your kids, and then when she's sick of them, goes back to her house and is like, God, I love being single and having no kids.
I have a friend that she's single. She doesn't have any children, and she loves it that way. She loves her life. She's got a great apartment in Manhattan, and every once in a while, she'll text me at, like, 10:30 in the morning. She'll be like, just getting up. What are you up to? I'm like, just getting up now? It's 10:30. I've already done, like, 700 things. My kids got me up at 5:45 this morning. Yeah. What that must be like. Oh.
Right?
Kevin, it's okay. Tell us who you're jealous of.
I got an old high school buddy who was just, you know, top of the class and everything, and now he's a congressman now, and I just think that's really cool. You know, it's very rare that you see somebody like work hard to get, you know, to politics sometimes. Well, you know, I'm sure a lot of people do, but you know the misconception. But like, I don't know, I've seen this guy through school, and now he's a politician, and you know, and a congressman, he's doing some great things, and I'm kind of jealous of his status.
Fair.
It's nice to hear you say, like, it's, you know, about your observations of seeing him kind of earn it and grind it out. Like, a lot of people, you know, obviously power is intoxicating, so people like that. They like to see somebody that kind of rises to the top of something. It's easy to understand how they could be envious of that. I tell you what, I'm not envious of what you got to do to keep the job or what you're doing through with it. Like, every day somebody's unhappy. So you're either selling out, right, to make somebody happy and piss somebody else off, or you're just, you know, kicking the can down the road. That, to me, is not appealing.
And even if you're a really good person and try really hard, there's always going to be people that dislike you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, and the thing is nobody ever agrees. Yeah. So how much can you really get done? You're by yourself.
I wish I was a politician sometimes. I think I'd be a good politician.
Oh, I think you would.
Yeah. I don't like the way you said that.
Right. It's, yes.
It was the biggest movie that opened this weekend. Check this out. It's terrifying.
It's been 4 years since Michael Myers vanished without a trace.
What are you gonna do when Michael comes back for you? Because he is coming.
Halloween Ends is all people have been talking about. $41 million opening weekend. You know who was there watching it? Producer Sean.
I can't believe, honestly, that what you told me about it there, Sean. Give us the story. I mean, I go ahead.
I like that clip. Michael Myers vanished 4 years ago. He should have stayed vanished, okay?
Okay.
Because this movie was so bad. So me and my girlfriend Rachel went to go see this movie on Sunday. Halfway through this movie, we stood up and we walked out of it.
How do you walk out of a movie?
Because it was that bad.
I mean, how can it really be that bad? So
listen, they're selling it as the wrong movie. It's a Halloween film. It's Michael Myers. Michael Myers was in that movie probably for a total of like three minutes.
Well, I would have
for the entire hour and 10 minutes we watched it.
I mean, I would imagine he had more parts coming up if it's going to be the end of his story, right? I mean, I thought, just to go out on a limb here, I thought the last one was pretty good. I thought the one before it.
I'm sorry, what?
Was decent. I thought the last movie before it, Halloween Kills or whatever, was pretty good. The mob scene in the street, the daughter
that
goes.
Was another terrible part.
All right. The fact is I've never seen any Halloween movies. Yeah. Never once.
Okay.
But to me, like when you go to an actual movie theater, it's an investment. The tickets are expensive. The popcorn is expensive. Mm-hmm. Everything is pretty expensive when you go out to the movies.
And you've made your way there.
Right. You got in the car. You went there. You committed that you were going to be there for however many hours there is. And I just can't fathom walking out of a movie, no matter how bad it is.
It's okay. I'm going to write the Hollywood producers and get my money back.
Yeah.
Dear Hollywood,
like you're 85.
Terrible movie.
Right.
You send money. Yeah. Sean.
I don't know. Are you the kind of guy that walks out of things? Because I feel like I suffer through things even if I'm miserable because I feel like I have to, that I've committed to be there.
Right. Are you the walker outer?
Honestly, no. Typically not. But this is just one of those moments where like it wasn't catching us. We weren't invested in it. It was just like, it was just that bad that we're like, we're better off just walking out and going to do something else.
Okay.
The only thing I ever walk out of, and it sounds terrible when I say it out loud, but if I go to a concert.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah. If I like, they already played the hit and, you know, and I'm... To me, I'm always worried about traffic. And if it's like they're not great and they're not captivating, I'm out. Like I'll just like sneak right out the back.
Remember
like,
when you were 23? You didn't care about traffic at all.
No,
traffic was part of the party.
Yeah,
right
now, not
like
anymore.
Yeah, it's. I walked out of Guns N' Roses. I mean, speaking of concerts, which is like, it's a big one. But you know, here's the thing. So it was after they had first gotten back together, and I had already seen them on another show when they had gotten back together in New York, and they got this thing where they make you wait forever. So they were here. And the show, most shows are over at 11, like locally.
Yeah.
It was 11:30. They still weren't on stage.
No.
When he finally came out, they played like three songs. And I was like, no, I'm good. And then I walked out and left. Mm-mm. I mean, it's easier when you're not paying for the ticket. But, you know, walked out of some stuff.
Did you ever walk out of something? What was it? 1-800-330-9999. Producer Sean walked out of Halloween Ends this past weekend, which I thought was shocking because I've never walked out of a movie, even if it was terrible, because it's an investment to go see one.
I mean, the trailers look pretty good. I thought it was going to be decent. I've walked out of movies before, but it's been a long time, and I couldn't tell you which one it was.
Tracy, what did you walk out of?
I walked out of the Blair Witch Project movie.
Oh, why?
Because it was too scary?
No, it was horrible.
Oh.
Oh, I love that movie.
I'll tell you a funny story about the Blair Witch Project. I went, and I was so terrified that all my friends went in, and one of my girlfriends that was like, we went a group, we were young, and we decided we were not going to go because we were so scared and that we were going to walk back to the house, which was 2 miles away.
Nice, through the woods.
We went through the woods on a Friday night. Right? We joked the whole time that we were going to live the Blair Witch Project. We got chased by a dog. We would have been better off just like putting our head in our hands and dealing with the movie.
Right. Should have stayed.
Yeah.
Jimmy, what'd you walk out of?
I remember back in college, spring weekend, Norm McDonald was awful. He got heckled. He got booed off the stage. A morning show host, actually, a radio host, actually opened for him and came back to the set and, like, he killed it. So he was, like, the hero of the night.
Wow.
I'm trying to think if I ever walked out of a comedy show. I have too much respect for getting up there. I think I would suffer through an entire terrible set. Just to give them the respect.
Everybody's seen one, though. Everybody's seen a bad set.
Oh, yeah. I saw one not too long ago that it was cringeworthy. And my husband was snoring, literally snoring asleep.
Wow,
and
nice.
I kept having to kick him. Margaret, what did you walk out of?
So I just straight up walked out of an airport. My boyfriend and I at the time, we were having an argument. We were on the way to Cancun, and he was just having such an attitude. Just being like a real jerk. And I know traveling like stresses people out, but it was too much. So I just straight up left. I walked out of the airport and we've been broken up for 3 years. Haven't talked to him. It was over.
Oh, I would have went to Cancun. I would have sucked it up, got on the plane, kept my mouth shut. And then when we got back, never see him again.
I had a friend. So they went on vacation and they came back and they broke up immediately after. But like they had the conversation, like I think the day they got down there. So then they stayed on the vacation.
No.
For like three, I mean, it was just a long weekend, but for like 3 or 4 days. And they had like 4 layovers on the way back. I had to explain to him after about direct travel after that because, you know, he's like a younger guy. And he literally told me they had like 3 layovers. So I was like, bro, like you were 5 states away. like what happened with your flights? Paul, what'd you walk out of?
Most recently, right out of a grocery store. And I needed those groceries too. But the line was just way too long. I had spent a bunch of time and was just getting exasperated with the amount of people that was in the store. It wasn't the time of day I usually like to go shop. And so by the time I got to the checkout lines, they were so long, I just kind of left the cart where it was.
That sucks. When you're hungry and you need that stuff, because later on you're going to be like, your time is still valuable later.
You just invested all that time in putting everything in the cart and you just abandon it.
Sometimes you got to go.
I know.
I respect it, man. Yeah. Honestly, I think sometimes it's better to go than to have a problem, right? You didn't want to snap out up there, you know? Because that ain't nobody else's fault.
I hope there wasn't anything frozen in that cart. Like the Eggo's going bad.
Well, you know there was something frozen.
Those Yasso ice cream bars are gone. Right.
When you leave the cart in the middle of the aisle, somebody's going to find it relatively quickly.
I don't even know why they... So I'm giving a keynote speech tomorrow, and it has to be 30 minutes long. Originally, they asked for 45. I said, how about 30?
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Really?
And I said, like, I don't... I'm so used to like being the one interviewing other people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, people don't even care what I have to say. Like, what about my story is all that interesting? And then I have to deal with the whole imposter syndrome where Like, nobody cares what I have to say.
Right.
Who wants to hear about my life?
I mean, Anna, I really hope people care about what you have to say, because I'm going to be out of a job if they don't.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, the story of how I got here. I gave myself 6 hours. Sit down and write a speech for 6 hours. Mm-hmm. You should have plenty of time. So I wrote and I wrote and I wrote and I wrote. And then I had our intern look it over and read it. And she's like, 17 and a half minutes.
Listen, it's a very different thing to be the host or, you know, the one that's moving things along than it is to be the actual featured speaker.
I would have rathered, and I'll be honest with you, that I was in high school and I had to give a speech on anything, science or history.
If it was assigned to you.
Yeah, like the Revolutionary War.
Right.
I probably would have had a better chance doing that. But I just don't know if I'm good enough. So I figured, producer John, I need you to come up with a song about stuff that I've done that you think that other women would want to hear about.
That's what I'm saying. These are things that I think that I noticed that you can do that I think you're good at that add to your value as a person.
So wait a minute. So if she doesn't make the allotted 30 minutes, what happens?
She can punt to the ideas in this song.
Okay.
Exactly.
Right. Right. Okay. I understand.
All right. I haven't listened to these. Let's see. These are the things that you think I'm good at that I can talk about during my speech if I run short on time, which most likely I will.
Right.
All right. Let's see.
A full half hour might seem out of reach, so here's some things to say in your speech. If you don't want to make a living working for the man, just hoard some Beanie Babies as a retirement plan. Anna's got a whole collection of Princess Di, and her plan is to sell them if she needs to get by.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if the women in networking care about this, but I can talk about the fact that my Princess Diana BNBB will eventually make me millions of dollars. I don't know if we've discussed it yet, but we had a listener bring me 4 Princess Diana Beanie Babies, and I'm going to try to figure out how much they're worth so I can be rich.
I'm just going on a limb there. There's a high probability that a good percentage of those women also have these Beanie Babies in their storage right now, too.
Well,
I don't know. We don't know. Taking away from your money.
I feel like it's a hole that many women fell into when Princess Di went away.
All right, let's see what else.
Okay.
Here's a great life choice. If your name is Anna Zapp, sign up for a dance class and learn how to tap. On the road to success, it might not seem vital, but you can dance with all the kids at your yearly recital.
I didn't even think about bringing my tap shoes. It never even crossed my mind.
That's been something I'm honestly impressed with you about, the fact that you actually, as an adult, learned how to tap dance. I'm not saying it's cool, but it was impressive.
I could tap dance. If I run short on time, I'll just put on my tap shoes.
This is going to be shocking to some people, but I have no comment at this point.
Okay.
Now here's something that you won't learn in a book. Anna knows how to give a quiet, dirty look. If you messed up, don't want to be overheard. Anna makes you feel bad without saying a word.
Good.
Full half hour might seem out of reach, so here's some things to say in your speech.
And the best part is you're doing it right now.
Oh, yeah.
You're doing it right now.
I am really good at giving. Would you rather me be the screamer or just give you the disapproving look and then we can move on with our lives?
Well, you can't scream at me on the air, so, you know, you've mastered the quiet, dirty look.
Maybe
it's a skill.
You should figure out how to work some history of the Revolutionary War stuff into your speech.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can get closer to 30 minutes.
Now I'm going to go pack my tap shoes right now. When is it going to end? If you missed it, earlier this week, there was a protest where a bunch of people, they went in and they threw tomato soup at a Van Gogh painting, and then they super glued their hands to the wall at the museum.
Dumb. Dumb. Glad to hear that the painting was covered in glass.
Though. Right.
That was nice. Good idea. Thank you.
They went and got some Windex out of the back. They sprayed the glass, and they it was back on display within 6 hours, and they all got arrested. But he thought that was bad. Listen to this news report out of the UK about what protesters were doing yesterday.
On Sunday, activists poured milk on the floors of shops around the country. The group, Animal Rebellion, says it organised the stunt to protest the lack of support for farmers and fishing communities from the UK government in transitioning to a plant-based future.
They just started pouring out milk in grocery stores across the country. You just walk into your grocery store, you're just minding your business, pushing your cart, getting your eggs, and here's some dude opening all the milk cartons and just pouring it out on the floor next to you.
I mean, I got to tell you, something like this would... There are plenty of things that go on around me that wouldn't bother me at all.
But this...
Food waste bothers me. Milk smells. Mm. And it's just like, what are you accomplishing? All you're going to do is make my gallon of milk more expensive. What are you doing over there? Seriously.
You ever have a carton of milk at home go bad? You smell it and it goes bad. And then you have to pour it down the sink.
Yeah.
And then it sounds like this...
It's like clumpy.
You got to look away while you're doing it.
Yeah.
You got to look away.
Right.
But all right, let's go around the room. Let's play. You're grocery shopping, and the protester starts pouring out all the milk next to you. What do you do? Producer Sean, you're first.
All right, first of all, I'm yelling at you, because I'm assuming you're splashing milk on my fresh kicks, dog. You can't be doing that here.
$20 Walmart shoes.
Wait, okay. I don't care.
He's right.
I don't care, dog.
He bought those shoes.
Those are my $20 shoes. Splash milk on them?
100%.
I don't like that.
Producer John, they start pouring out milk right next to you. You're just standing there with your cart like, what is happening? What do you do?
So this is what I noticed about the guys. He's pouring the milk out, but he's addressing the crowd as he's doing it. He's like testifying. So what I do, I open the Nalgene bottle. I come up right next to him. Boom. Grab some of the milk that's coming out of the carton. Get that into my Nalgene bottle. Twist it up. Leave the store. That's free milk right there.
That's stealing.
Easy free milk.
What is a Nalgene bottle? Do you know, Raven?
The water bottle. You know, like the big water bottles that like carry a ton of water, and if you drink the whole one every day, you're like a healthy person. You open one of those up, grab the milk as he's pouring it out. That's free milk. What am I going to do? They're going to charge me for that milk that was going on the floor anyway?
You know that your water bottle is going to taste like milk from now until the end of time now. You know
that,
right?
Yeah, but I'm going to have free milk. I'm going to have free milk.
Get the free milk. Raven, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm going to do that thing where the guy that just ran across the field protesting at the Rams game did. I'm going to lay him out like a linebacker.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's looking at the crowd. He's trying to address the crowd or whatever. He's like, you can't be making milk anymore. And I'm going to tackle him from across the frozen food section.
Slow motion Raven just coming through the crowd.
I don't know why. This one just makes me angry.
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take all the attention away because I'm going to yell at my kids, snow angels, snow angels. Oh, and we're going to lay on the floor in all the milk and we're going to make the snow angels and we're going to take the attention off them. And they're going to be like, Animal Rebellion was trying to make a scene, but then a family with her young children started making snow angels on the grocery store floor.
That is disgusting.
Yes. Effective. Effective. Yeah,
exactly.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Louie and Fran. Fran, let's start with you. What's going on?
So we have a nanny that just left a month ago, and she was with us for 3 years. Loved her. She was amazing. Yeah, she was a little expensive, which I'm sure my husband's going to say. I want to just replace, you know, get another nanny. But my husband, he has a friend who has a live-in nanny from another country. And because we have another room, he wants to bring a total stranger into our house. And I'm not comfortable with that. I don't know what the vetting process is, and we were happy before. Yeah, we might save a few bucks, but I just don't think it's worth risking anything.
Louis, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much my buddy's had this live-in nanny for a good while now, and it's been great for him and his wife. I kind of suggested this. Fran's not into it, but, I mean, you know, there's more than saving money. Like, I used to be able to go out and dance with my wife all the time, and now I don't have time to do that because, you know, we gotta, you know, it would be so beneficial to have this live-in nanny. You know, we got cameras. I believe I can vet her. I'm be honest, I'm not exactly sure what the vetting process was when he got his nanny, but they're happy. And I just think in the end, it can make us happy.
It's a lot of websites that do this now. It's actually very common, and I know a bunch of friends that have gone through this process. It's a safe vetting process, but you're right. It's a stranger from another country coming to live in your home to take care of your children.
Right, which is an awkward situation. There's going to be a learning curve, too. Mm-hmm. You're certainly going to have to get accustomed to each other. There's going to be an adjustment period. And the truth is that I've heard other stories, too. I've heard other stories where they show up, they get here, they move in, and then one day they're just gone. I've also heard that story.
Well, I mean, you can't hold them against their will. You
know? Well, of course not. But, I mean, they show up and, you know, you think that they're going to be there for 6 months, 9 months, a year, whatever. I mean, obviously, it takes time. Right. And then all of a sudden, that person's gone 5 days in and they never return.
Yeah, the au pairs. You know, it's tough. I think if you work a lot, I can see why it's beneficial. It is cost efficient. It is. You have to provide their food. You have to provide their board. You have, you know, all those opportunities to them. But you're not paying $20 an hour like you would pay a regular babysitter, a regular nanny.
No, I understand why it makes sense, but
Let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Louie. What's the harm in trying? If you have the room and you both work a lot, it might be a great solution. But they could see Fran's side too, where she's just not comfortable with a stranger coming to live in the house, and you know, she doesn't want to try it for a year.
And she doesn't like your dancing. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
It's a tough one whenever you have to deal with bringing somebody into your house to take care of your children. And that's exactly what Louis and Fran are having to deal with. The debate is whether or not they should get an au pair.
Yeah, she doesn't. Well, first off, they had a nanny. But, you know, to get a replacement right here, you know, Louis, he's got a friend. Their family, they've had some success bringing in an au pair from a different country, right? You get online, you pick somebody out, you figure whether or not they're a match. They arrive there, they move in, they take care of your kids. Fran just says, listen, we had somebody local before. I don't know about this vetting process. This sounds crazy to me. We're going to move somebody into our house, a stranger? I'm not on board.
I see both sides of this, so I don't know what side I'm on, but what side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Ramon.
So I am the bad side, and because I was an au pair. Yes, they have male au pairs, not just girls. And that's actually a good, like, life experience for the kids. And they can't just think about the money they are saving. They need to think about the whole, like, culture exchange, you know?
Mm. I think that's something I hadn't considered, right? The diversity of it. You know, there's going to be some changes or whatnot, can be very beneficial to the kids, right? It is a learning experience.
Yeah, thank you so much for the call. I love that he's a male au pair. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a Couples Court. It's hard when you have two full-time working parents and your nanny quits, so they move on to something else. It's time to replace them, and Louis has a new idea. Instead of hiring somebody local that just comes and goes depending on the hours, why don't we get a live-in au pair? They're less expensive, they're more available, and it'll make our lives easier.
They've got a guest room in the house. He thinks that financially it's a good choice. They've seen good results from a friend, family of that, but Fran's just not comfortable. She says, I don't want a stranger in our house. We had a nanny before. Can't we just do that again? I'm not down for this.
You have any experience with this? What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on the wife's side because I would never mess with a mother's intuition. She has strong feelings about not having somebody strange in her house and taking care of her children. And I always go by the rule of if you're in doubt, don't. So there are so many other options. There's no reason to bring somebody into the house to make her uncomfortable.
Hey, Dina, whose side are you on today?
I'm on her side. I had an au pair, and while it's beneficial and less money, weekly up front, it's anywhere from $9,000 to $10,000. It's a lot of money up front. And the vetting process is very smooth and they do vet thoroughly. But we also had to rematch au pairs because it didn't gel. He didn't gel with the kids. And that was an entire process because you have to re-find an au pair and it's just a mess. It's like a full-time job. So I'm on her side.
I had a lot of people say to me, it is a full-time job because you have to be on all the time. You have to respond within a certain amount of time. It's an investment, but it's just like hiring anybody that's going to take care of your family.
I mean, I don't think that's really a problem. You're talking about somebody moving into your house and caring for your children. Right. You should probably be doing your due diligence for a little while up to it. It's going to be time-consuming.
But it's also stressful.
It's like adopting a human. Of course it is.
Yep. Hey, Bob, whose side are you on?
Honestly, if the two of them can't agree, then they just shouldn't do it, no matter who says it.
So one person just has to stay home. or they got to go find more money.
Actually, both.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Fran, our audience agreed with you. If you're not comfortable having somebody live in your home, then you're not comfortable. That's really what it comes down to. This has to be something that you're both open to. And if you're not, Fran, Louis, you got to understand that.
Understood. I do.
Yeah, I mean, it's like having another family member. You know, they're going to be living with us. I don't know. I just don't feel comfortable.
Well, it looks like the audience agreed with you, so it won't be an issue moving ahead. You'll just have to figure out how to come up with that cash for somebody that is local.
Right.
Yeah, we've done it before. We can do it.
Absolutely. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven Cash jackpot is $1,500 thanks to Discover Card. We could talk about how complicated other banks make it to redeem credit card rewards, or we could talk about how with Discover, you can redeem rewards for cash in any amount at any time. I mean, talk about amazing. Learn more at discover.com/redeem rewards. Terms apply. Jenna, you ready to play today?
Hi, Anna. Yes, I am.
Good. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Jenna.
Okay. So Raven's walking out of here. When that big door closes, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He comes back, answers the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven, but it doesn't matter because today you're going to beat him, Jenna. You ready?
Yes.
Number one, Halloween Ends made $41 million at the box office on its premiere weekend. What actor's face did they famously use for the Michael Myers mask?
I know him.
Number two, Megan Thee Stallion became the second female rapper to host and be the musical guest on Saturday Night Live this past weekend. What rapper with hits like Juice and About Damn Time was the first?
Quavo.
Number three, actor Tom Felton said that he always had a crush on his co-star Emma Watson ever since they had worked together. What popular movie series did the two star in?
Harry Potter.
Number four, the new movie Terrifier 2 is causing audience members to pass out and throw up because it's so scary. This is a horror movie featuring a clown. What other scary movie from 2017 features a clown named Pennywise?
It.
Number five, Nickelodeon will debut a baby shark float for the first time this year at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. In the original Baby Shark song, who comes after Daddy Shark in line?
Mommy Shark.
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Okay.
Yo.
3 for 5.
All right, not terrible, ooh, not great. $1,500. Let's see how I do, Jenna.
Number one, Halloween Ends made $41 million at the box office on its premiere weekend. What actor's face did they famously use for Michael Myers' mask?
It's William Shatner, Captain Kirk.
Yes. Number two, Megan Thee Stallion became the second female rapper to host and be the musical guest on Saturday Night Live this past weekend.
Mm.
What rapper with hits like Juice and About Damn Time was the first?
That's Lizzo.
Yes. Number three, actor Tom Felton said he always had a crush on his co-star Emma Watson ever since they worked together. What popular movie series did the two star in?
Harry Potter.
Yes.
Who didn't?
Number four. Actually, they said they had a crush on each other.
Yeah, I thought they actually dated for a little while.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why it's all over the news this week, but sure.
It seems strange.
Yeah. Number four, new movie Terrifier 2 is causing audience members to pass out and throw up because it's so scary.
Heard that.
This is a horror movie featuring a clown. What other scary movie from 2017 features a clown named Pennywise?
Of course, that's got to be It.
Yes. And number five, Nickelodeon will debut the Baby Shark float for the first time this year at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. In the original Baby Shark, who comes after Daddy Shark in line?
I'm just going to take a guess and say Grandma.
Grandma Shark is right.
Booyah!
I mean, come on!
You want me to sing it?
No.
I knew.
I do not. I do not want you to. Oddly, Dakota, my little one, my almost four-year-old, is still obsessed with Baby Shark. She watches Baby Shark every single day.
Yeah.
Baby Shark has legs, even though sharks don't have legs.
It's an earworm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Jenna, he beat you 5-3 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Thank you. I'm Jenna, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $1,600 tomorrow, Anna.